day when idols are worshipped. Even God's people are trapped in their snares. Good men have fallen, standards have shaken. Where is the answer? Who even cares? Where is a Gideon? Where is a man who'll be a leader and follow God's plan? Where is God's champion who'll be the one to stand like Gideon? I'll be that man. Where is the man who gives up ambitions? Worldly desires are all set aside. Where is the man, the lonely be service, satisfied only in him to abide? Where is a Gideon? Where is a man who'll be a leader and follow God's plan? Where is God's champion who'll be the one to stand like Gideon? I'll be that man.
Hey man, very good. What a great blessing. I asked them to sing together, and a dad and two sons. You can tell that they're a family. And what a great blessing that is. So let's take the word of God this morning, and we will go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter 1. In just a moment, we're going to begin in verse number 20, and we will read the rest of the chapter together. I want to say this as we begin this morning, and I want to ask you a question. Are you sitting in the right seat? Now, you may say, well, I hope I haven't taken someone else's seat, you know. You know how that can be in church sometimes. But I'm not speaking as far as, are you physically seated in the right seat? But spiritually speaking, where are you sitting right now? I believe the Bible gives us four different chairs, if you want to call them that, to where we are could be sitting. Now let's understand that all of us here this morning, we are seated in one of these four chairs that I will talk to you about. And I'm going to use the platform chairs here. Now please know that where I sit is hopefully not demonstrating what I am in my life or where Brother Stevenson is, all right? This is just for an illustration purpose. Back on September the 27th, 1998, I'd just been married just for a few months, and a man by the name of Phil Olszewski, he went to a ball game that day. He was seated in the right seat, because on that day, Mark McGwire hit and broke a record by hitting his 70th home run baseball into the stands. And this man, Phil, who was 26 years of age, working just a normal job at the Washington University in St. Louis there, he was seated right there and he caught Mark McGwire's 70th home run ball. Of course, people in the stands wanted that baseball because it was very special. In fact, after the game was over, Mark McGwire wanted his own baseball from him. But Phil very wisely kept the baseball. And not too long after that, he went to an auction to sell the baseball that Mark McGwire had hit. And a man by the name of Todd McFarland paid $3 million for that baseball. I'm going to tell you something. That day, Mr. Olszewski was seated in the right seat. It was a good seat on that day. But I believe that with all my heart that we are too seated somewhere in our Christian lives. And the Bible clearly tells us that there are four chairs that we could be seated in. Now, I believe that there's only one chair that we should be seated in this morning, and it is the chair of the wise, that you are walking in wisdom. Where are you seated today? Let's read in Proverbs chapter number 1, and we're going to begin in verse number 20, and I want you to notice someone is crying here. Can you figure out who it is? Because it's something very important. Proverbs 1:20, the Bible says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying." Now I want you to listen to what wisdom is crying. She says in verse 22, "How long, ye simple ones," would you underline that word simple there? "Will ye love simplicity? And the scorners," would you underline that word scorners, "delight in their scorning? And fools," would you underline that word fools, "hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." This morning I want to preach to you on this subject, sitting in the right seat. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be back in the pulpit this morning, and I thank for the time to be away with my precious wife. But Lord, it's good to be home with, Lord, our people together. And I'm asking you today to do something in our hearts. Lord, I pray that, Lord, all of us would understand that this message is not just for young people, but it's for every person seated here today. Lord, help us to know that we are choosing which seat we are seated in. Guide us in this service. Father, help me and work in hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice back in verse number 20 where the Bible says, "Wisdom crieth without." Now, have you ever heard someone crying before? It makes a difference, does it not? I think hearing someone or seeing someone crying affects you. God allowed my wife and I to be gone for just a few days together, and I'm so thankful for that. And we had a wonderful time, just her and I, and it's just a great blessing. But on our way back on Thursday, we were on the airplane, and all of a sudden this stewardess came on and said, "If there's any medical professionals here, we need you in the back." And my wife and I had to just be, we were sitting in the very last seat of the plane because that's where we could be together, you know, and there was no two seats just close by, and so we chose those. And all of a sudden there became an emergency. A man was literally having a heart attack on the plane, and it was serious. And I'll never forget his wife seated right beside of him. And he passed out on the plane, and she began to cry. And my wife and I could hear her crying. And you know something? It affects you to hear someone crying. Immediately, we wanted to do something. We could not. Immediately, we began to pray and ask God to help this man. Thankfully, he was able to walk off the plane at the very end of the flight. We're thankful for that. But hearing that person crying, I've been with many people in our church at the time of a death of a loved one, and I've heard them cry, and it moves my heart. In fact, the Bible says that God is moved with our tears, and He records our tears. I don't know that I understand all of that, but God records our tears. But here in Proverbs chapter 1, someone is crying. And it should move you to action today. It should disturb you. It should cause something within your heart to say, I'm going to do something about this. And the person who is crying is wisdom. Wisdom is crying out. And I believe wisdom cries out to you and me today. Because if we are not careful, we can be seated in the wrong seat. And let me say this to you. There are four chairs we're going to represent up here today. But if you are not seated in this last chair, which we will represent as the chair of the wise, can I tell you some? Any of these other chairs, you will make terrible decisions with your life. And folks, life is the sum total of the decisions that we make. You know, folks can say, well, I tell you, this happened to me in my childhood, and this happened to me, and this person hurt me and offended me. But let me tell you this, life is all about our decisions. And if you do not sit in the seat of the wise and have God's wisdom for your life, you are going to destroy the life that God has given you. That is why wisdom cries out. This morning, are you sitting in the right seat? Can I say this to you? What you do with the Word of God on a daily basis, do you read it? Do you heed it? Do you hear it? Do you obey it? What you do with the Word of God determines which chair you are seated this morning. Let's begin today. First, I want you to notice the seat of the simple. I know this is a very simple illustration today that I want to give to you, but it's the seat of the simple. Let's let this chair represent the seat of the simple. You know what? There are some Christians that are seated just right there. They're seated in the seat of the simple. Let's notice what the Bible says. You're in the book of Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14, if you would please. Now, this morning, I want you to stay with me because we're going to journey in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at some things today. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 15. The Bible says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The Bible says the simple believeth every word. Whatever someone tells them, they just believe it. They are simple minded. Let's go to Proverbs 14 and verse 18. Just go down just a couple of verses. The Bible says the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now, let me tell you something about people that are seated right here. I think all of us know people that are seated right here. By the way, most young people in their early years, that's where they sit a lot, all right? They're simple. They lack the understanding of God's Word. They lack understanding. In fact, the word simple means void of understanding. It also means to be silly or easily seduced. They're a simple person. This is the person who is ignorant of the teachings of God's Word. They are ignorant of what God has given us through His Word. And by the way, a lot of people that sit in this chair, they don't necessarily have a wrong spirit. They're not necessarily disobedient. They just don't know what the Bible teaches. They are ignorant of God's precious Word. They are often followers. They often are blinded because of their own ignorance. Do you know something? We live in a world today where people are simple concerning the Word of God. They just don't know the Bible. They do not hear the Word of God preached. They do not listen to the Word of God. They do not know what the Bible teaches. And folks, this is why daily we must be in the Word of God. This is why daily we must hide God's word in our heart. Because if not, we can be simple in our understanding of the Bible. Now let me say this to you. You may say, Pastor, I've been saved for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Wonderful. But you can still be a simple Christian. You say, Pastor, I've gone to church for many years of my life, but you can still sit in the seat of the simple. Because if you are not actively growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you are not actively learning and hearing and yielding to the teaching of God's word, you will be a simple Christian. Are you seated this morning in the seat of the simple? I'm going to tell you this, I have been here before. I have sat here before. I have lived here before where I was ignorant of the teachings of God's word. That is the first seat of the simple. Secondly, we find the seat of the foolish. All right, now let me use this chair to represent right here. This is the seat of the foolish. Do you know of someone that's seated in that chair? In fact, let's look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12. You're there in Proverbs chapter 14, but go back to Proverbs 12, verse number 15. The Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Notice what the Bible says. The way of a fool, he is seated in that chair. The way of a fool, it's right in his own eyes. Seems good to me. This is what I think is good. This is what feels good to me. And that's how I'm going to live. And that's how I'm going to make decisions. You know what? The Bible has much to say about a foolish man or a foolish woman. By the way, this word fool means that they are silly in a perverse way. The difference with seated here is they're just ignorant of the teaching of God's word. But a foolish person has moved over. Now they reject the teachings of God's word. Do you understand something? If you sit there long enough, you will end up sitting right there. Folks, we must know the word of God, but we must accept God's word. The fool is any person who is taught the principles of God's word and they choose to reject them. And I'm going to say this to you, and I hope that you do not misunderstand what I'm saying. You know something? I believe that a person who is taught the principles of God's word and they choose to reject them, I believe that they go deeper and darker into sin than other people do. You know why? Because they're sinning against light. This is what a fool does. He's taught the principles of God's word. He hears the principles of God's word. But he says, no, I'm not doing that. He is a fool. Now, as I said before, the fool, God has a lot to say. First, can I tell you something? That a foolish person slanders others. I'm not going to take you to every reference here, but that's found in Proverbs 10:18. He likes to make fun of others and he tears others down. Do you know in our school, and we're thankful we have a Christian school, but did you know something in our school? That we don't have perfect kids in our school, all right? We just don't. We've tried to find them, but we can't find them anywhere, you know? Because there is no such thing as that. But you know what we deal with often in our school? People just making fun of other kids. Why? They're fools. Because the Bible says that a foolish person slanders others. They make fun of them. They criticize them behind their back. They are seated right there. Secondly, a foolish person has perverse lips. Now let me show this to you. Proverbs 19 and verse number 1. They have perverse lips. The word perverse means distorted or crooked. They're distorted or crooked. Proverbs 19:1, the Bible says this. Now notice, the person, he's seated right here or she is seated right here. And today in this service, you need to determine by the Spirit of God, not by your own personal judgment, but let the Lord show you where you're seated today. Proverbs 19:1 says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. They're foolish. Number three, a foolish person quickly speaks his mind. Have you ever done that before? Well, I have. Quickly speak my mind, and then later, guess what I have to do? Go back and apologize. Or I have to correct what I said. He does not think before he speaks. When I was very young, my mom and dad began to work with me, and I'm thankful they did, they used to say to me, Aaron, think before you speak. You know what? When I was a kid, I just didn't understand that. I was like, well, sure, I'm thinking, but I wasn't thinking. And when I began to contemplate what I was about to say, I thought, man, that's a dumb thing to say, you know? I don't need to say that anymore. Well, guess what? God was helping me to move out of that chair. You see, a foolish person quickly speaks his mind. Number four, a foolish person is filled with pride. They're proud. In fact, the Bible says that the way of a fool, the Bible says, it's right in his own eyes. He says, this is good to me. I don't need to listen to anybody else. It's right in my eyes. They're filled with pride. Number five, a foolish person is contentious. Have you ever met someone before that they love contention? They just love it. Can I tell you where they're seated? Right here. They love it. We had a young man in our teen group years ago when my wife and I worked in a teen group. And I'll tell you something, whenever he was there, there was problems. If he was there, mark it down, there was problems. Because he was a fool. He sat right here. He heard the teaching of God's word, but he rejected the teaching of God's word. He wasn't just simple because he had heard the teachings. But now he was filled with pride and there was contention about him. And folks, wherever you find contention and strife, I'm going to tell you something, you will find a foolish person. Number six, a foolish person ignores reproof. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1. I want to show this to you. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. Notice this. They ignore reproof. And by the way, nothing tells me more about the spirituality of a person by how they handle reproof. Now let me say this to you. I don't like reproof. Do you like reproof? None of us do. None of us do not like reproof. When our kids were very little, Abby's in college, so I can talk about her today, all right? But I remember when Abby was just real little, and we dealt with her about it. But I remember sometimes when we would tell her no, we would just cringe and wait for the screaming and hollering and gnashing of teeth and whatever there may have been, you know? You know why? Because she didn't like reproof. She was just 1 year of age. We had to deal with that, biblically speaking. But I'm going to tell you something. I know adults that hate reproof. Don't tell me what to do. Don't you know how old I am and wise and mature I am? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Wisdom does not naturally come with age. Maturity does not just come because you're of age or because you've been in church for a long time. Wisdom is something that must be given by God Himself to you as you yield and surrender your life to Him. You know what? You could sit here the rest of your life. You could sit here the rest of your life. And I'm going to tell you something about these chairs. You don't have to sit there. You don't have to sit right there. You say, oh, that's just me. I'm just ignorant of the teaching of God's Word. Well, God has given you a book. Begin to read it and hear it and obey it and you'll move out of that chair. But there's some people that are seated right here. Oh, that's me. I'm just a foolish person. You don't have to sit in that chair. Look here. What if you were seated somewhere? I remember my son and I, Caleb, we were at camp a few years ago. And after the service was over, there was a young man that was on the camp staff and he had pulled over a camp-like bench and he was looking at a spider under there. Now, it looked like a brown recluse and he said, it's a brown recluse. And you know what I said? I'm not sitting there, you know? Show me where that is. In fact, I'm looking under the one I'm sitting at right now to make sure there's nothing under there. You know, I'd be pretty dumb to go over and say, yep, hope that thing don't bite me and sit right down, you know? I'm not sitting there, all right? I'm moving. I'm going somewhere else. And folks, today, can I tell you something? You don't have to sit there. By God's grace, you can become a person that understands the Bible and you apply it to your life. But you don't have to sit here. But a foolish person, they hate reproof. Proverbs 1:7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools," look at this, "despise wisdom and instruction." Now the word despise there is not what we might think that it is. All right? Now I'm just going to tell you this. I despise Brussels sprouts. I just despise them. How many likes them? Would you raise your hand? All right? They're not in heaven. I'm telling you that right now. All right? I don't know. But anyway, I hate the smell of them. I hate the look of them. I hate the taste of them. I despise them. And if I come to your house and you offer me, I'm sorry. I'm throwing them out the window. All right? I'm just not going to eat them. All right? I despise them. But that's not the word that the Bible uses here. The word despise means to look down upon. You know what the fool does? He just disregards. He looks down on the instruction and the reproof of other people. Folks, today, a foolish person ignores reproof. They hate reproof. You know what? When I was youth pastor, once again, I remember the young people that when I would lovingly reprove them, the Bible says speak the truth in love. When I would speak the truth in love to them, sometimes they'd get so mad and angry. You know what? That was a dangerous place for them because that is where they are seated. A foolish person perceives himself or herself as always right. I read to you Proverbs 12:15. May I read it to you again? You don't have to turn there. But the Bible says in Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Another one, a foolish person sees mischief as sport. They enjoy mischief. They enjoy evil. They see it as something fun to do. Another one, a foolish person makes a mockery of sin. Proverbs 14:9. Let me read it to you. "Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor." Folks, a foolish person, they laugh at sin. They laugh at the dirty jokes. They laugh at someone dishonoring God. They laugh at that. They mock sin. They make fun of sin. May I tell you today, you are seated right there. If you think it's funny for someone to live in disobedience to God and His precious word. And then the last one, a foolish person despises his or her parents. Proverbs 15:20, this is mainly for the teenagers here or the young people here today. The Bible says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." He looks down on her. What does she know? You know, is it not something that I think all of us men, let me just put the men here, isn't it amazing how wise our dads got the older we got? They just grew in wisdom. Can I tell you something? They were wise when we were young, but we just didn't recognize their wisdom. We look down often upon their wisdom. What does dad know about this? What does mom know about that? But you are seated right there in the chair of the foolish. And young person today, if you think, my parents don't know anything, my parents don't understand me, that is where you are seated today. And let me just tell you this. If you are seated right here, you're going to make terrible decisions in your life and you're going to destroy your life. And one day, as Proverbs chapter 1 says, when anguish comes upon you and desolation comes upon you, then you'll want wisdom, but it'll be too late. Then you will say, "Oh, I wish I'd have listened," but it'll be too late. What about the chair of the foolish? You're going to make terrible decisions in your life. Life is the sum total of the decisions that we make. The third chair is the seat of the scorner. Now, I sit here, but I hope I don't sit here spiritually, all right? But this is the chair of the scorner. Now, what is a scorner? Look in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 1, would you please? Proverbs 13 and verse number 1. You may say this morning, "Pastor, it's a different message today," but I believe it's where God led me as we deal with what chair we are seated in. Now look, every one of us, including me, including the staff in our church, every Sunday school teacher, every deacon, every usher, every nursery worker, all of us are seated in one of these four chairs. Where are you seated this morning? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. They don't hear rebuke. Go to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 12. Proverbs 15 and verse number 12. The Bible says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. They don't seek out wisdom. You know what a scorner is? The word scorner means one who openly scoffs or mocks that which is right and good. They openly mock it. Now, I know of people who sit right here and they just disregard the teachings of God's word, but they're not really a scorner. They're just kind of private rebels in their heart. And they just live in rebellion against God and His word. But then you come to this seed, and this is the seed of the scorner. They mock it. Can I tell you? That's the person that laughs during church. They disregard. They mock and ridicule. By the way, their music, their friends, their internet usage, and their inner lives are wicked and impure. They are a scorner. These people are on a personal path of destruction, and they are taking others with them. It was a young man in my teen group and when I was in high school. And I'm going to tell you something. He was a scorner. He was a scorner. But you know something? I was the type of kid that I wasn't popular and all of that. But there came a short period in my life when I just wanted to be popular, you know? I wanted people to like me per se. And boy, for a short period of time, I became friends with that young man. That was a bad decision in my life. You know why? Because he was a scorner. And you know what? He began to take me down his path. His music and the things that he looked at and the things that he was involved in life, I became a part of that. And there came a point where I had to say, no, I'm not going to sit there any longer. Because that is a path of destruction. Folks, these are people who avoid wise people altogether. And they often prey on the simple and they prey on the foolish because they always need a following. They want a following. They are willful and they were outwardly rebellious. They are scorners. Now, the last seat, and really, this is where I wanted to get to this morning, is the seat of the wise. Brother Stevenson sits over here, of course, all right? Okay. I did that for his mom and dad's sake today, all right? But anyway. But the seed of the wise. Now I'm going to tell you something. Salvation is a gift from God. You do not work for salvation. But let me tell you this. You must work for wisdom. Wisdom is not just handed out. Wisdom is not something like candy that God just says, here you go. Here's wisdom. No, no, no. Wisdom must be worked at. You say, well, I've got wise parents. It doesn't mean you're wise. It doesn't mean that you're seated right there. Now, here's something I think is interesting. You know something about a chair? A chair is something that you can sit in or you can move. And folks, throughout your life, you know something? It's possible that you could move from here over to there. You could move from here over to there. So this must be something that we are vigilant about. It is not something that we are careless about. It is something that we are walking with Christ on a daily basis. We are confessing our sin, keeping short accounts with God, so that we are continually seated in the chair of the wise. How many have known of someone that sat here at one time? Now they're sitting in somewhere else over here. Would you raise your hand? Yeah, because that's possible for each and every one of us here today. I know of pastors that sat right there that now they're sitting here in the chair of the foolish. I know of people that were dedicated to Christ and had a heart for God that were seated right there. Now they're somewhere over here. You see, folks, we must desire to have wisdom because wisdom, what is wisdom, by the way? You know something? Wisdom is the ability and it is the willingness to base all of our thoughts, actions and decisions on the principles of the Word of God. Folks, you cannot have wisdom without God and His precious Word. Wisdom is where God wants us to be. Folks, a wise person, they listen to godly leaders. A wise person accepts rebuke and they love those who give them rebuke. A wise person is a blessing to his or her parents and not a burden. A wise person guards his or her mouth because they are seated in the chair of the wise. Do you have wisdom? Folks, just because you've been in this church for many years doesn't mean you have wisdom. Just because you've been a Christian for many years, wonderful, I'm thankful for that, doesn't mean that you have wisdom. Because, by the way, God puts the requirement of wisdom on us. Let me show you. Look what the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4. Would you go there? Proverbs chapter 4, and I want to show you this. Wisdom is your responsibility. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, Proverbs 4 verse 5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. I want to show you this principle. Wisdom is your responsibility. And by the way, as a pastor, can I just tell you this? I can't give you wisdom. I can present to you the truth of God's word, but you must accept it. You must say, that's mine. I'm going to take that for me. Yes, that's true. And that's right according to Scripture. And I'm going to believe it and I'm going to live it. Our children, my wife and I, as we were gone last week, and we had a great time together. And you say, what'd you do? Nothing, hardly, you know. We walked and talked and spent time together. And where we were staying, it was 2 miles from a marina. And they had a little restaurant there. And one day I had this brilliant idea. We can walk there, you know, and we'll eat lunch there. You know what? That walk back is really bad, you know? After I ate a double cheeseburger and fries, you know, trying to get back, it's like, Lord, help me, you know? Even so, come, Lord Jesus, you know, it's bad. And but we had a great time. But, you know, my wife and I talked, and we talk about our kids because we love them. But I can't give my kids wisdom. They have to accept that of their own. They have to work at wisdom. Wisdom is your responsibility, and it's my responsibility. You say, well, Pastor, I just grew up in a family, we're simple. Well, you don't have to sit there. Well, Pastor, I just grew up in my life just foolish. You don't have to sit there. Pastor, I'm just a scorner. You don't have to sit there. This is your choice. And God has made a way for all of us to sit in this chair. But what about wisdom? Look in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 16. It says this. It says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? You know what a fool thinks of wisdom? That's not worth much. That's not worth much. I don't want that. That's not valuable. I don't need wisdom. And many Christians think just like that. I don't need to listen. I don't need to heed. I don't need to read the Bible daily for myself. I don't need to walk in the presence of a holy God. But when we understand how valuable wisdom is, because wisdom is crying today. Do you hear the cry of wisdom? And will you answer the cry? Will you say, yes, I want wisdom. God, give me wisdom. And you will begin to search for wisdom. By the way, what if, and this is not true, so don't go crazy here, but what if I told you that somewhere on the property of our church is buried a treasure worth millions of dollars? What would you do? And I knew it. It was there. Why? I think you'd go out and dig for it, you know? Why do you think they had the gold rush and all the different things of years gone by? Because people thought there were treasure, and they wanted to hunt and seek for the treasure. I remember as a kid, I always had this dream of finding treasure, you know. And I was going to be nice to my mom and dad, do things for them, my sisters. I'd, you know, maybe do something little, you know. But anyway, But I used to always think about treasure. I remember my parents, we'd go different places and we'd go to the mountains. And I was always looking for treasure, you know. But you know, the truth is, if you don't think that wisdom is a treasure, you won't hunt for it. You will not seek for it. Folks, can I tell you something? That God is not just the God of wisdom. He is wisdom. He is all wise and all knowledge. In fact, let's go on a little journey here. Go to Colossians, if you would, please. Colossians chapter number 3. And I pray that you will take heed to this. Colossians, let's begin, if you would, please. And in the book of Colossians, in chapter 2, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 2. God puts upon you and me the responsibility of wisdom. So, this morning, how do we have wisdom? How do we sit here, Pastor? How do I sit in this seat here? I want to sit here. Because I'll tell you something, when you are seated right here, you know what? You'll make the right decisions in life. How many has ever made a decision before that you wish you could go back and undo? Would you raise your hand? Me too. You know why? Because we weren't seated right there. We made a foolish decision. We chose something that was not wise because we were not seated right there. God has made a way for all of us to sit in the seat of the wise. God has given us His precious Word. And if you're a Christian here this morning, He has given you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that can guide you and direct you. But it's our responsibility. It's not just something that just comes to us by because of our family or because of our church. It must be something that we dig for and we search for and we work for. It must be something that we labor for because there's the treasure of wisdom. Colossians chapter 2. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Look at this. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Folks, can I tell you that the Christian life is an endless pursuit of Jesus Christ. That's what the Christian life is. It's not obtaining salvation, but it's knowing the Lord Jesus. Paul said that I may know Him. Paul said, I am knowing the Lord. And folks, God has made a way for us to know Christ. And in Christ are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So this morning, how can we sit in that chair? Number one, choose to fear the Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning. The fear of the Lord. When you fear the Lord. Now, fearing God, a part of our fear of God is often that we fear being punished or chastened by the Lord. You know, so my parents, they were here last week, and you know, my parents, I feared my parents. Well, you say, what'd you fear? Well, I feared displeasing my mom and dad because I love them. I think that's a greater motive. But I also feared getting spanked or whooped by my mom and dad, you know? They just looked like nice people when they were here last Sunday, all right? But in my younger years, I'm going to tell you something, you know? My dad spanked very, you know, methodically. My mom, when she spanked, man, it was disastrous, you know. I mean, it was like, whoa, you know. I'm like, Mom, just wait till Dad gets home, all right? Because, you know, anyway. I mean, it just tore my mom up, you know. And she spanked me and everything else around, you know. I mean, it was just like, I was like, come in here, Joy Lori, get in here, you know. And, but I did fear my mom and dad. There came a point where I feared displeasing my parents. But you know what the fear of the Lord is? It is knowing that God sees you And God hears you, and God is there. That's the fear of the Lord. It's more than the reverential awe of God. It's that God is there. Folks, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear God when you're sitting in front of the television? Do you fear God in front of your computer or your phone? Do we fear the Lord? If you don't fear God, if you do not recognize that God sees you and knows, then I'm sorry, but you're not seated right there. We must choose to fear the Lord. Psalm 128, verse 1, let me read it. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. That's the part of the fear of God. You walk in His ways. I do not want to displease my Savior. You know something? I desire to hear the Lord say one day, well done, thou good. And by the way, we're only good because of Jesus Christ. Thou good and faithful servant. You know what the Lord didn't say? Boy, you accomplished all these things. That wasn't it. You pastored a large church. That wasn't it. You wrote this many books. That wasn't it. He said, thou good and faithful servant. Any of us can be good because of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Christ applied to our life, and we can be faithful. Amen. Choose the fear of the Lord. Do you know what I do every day of my life? I choose to fear God or to not fear God. I choose to fear the Lord. I remember when I got saved and I came to know the Lord as my Savior. Mom and Dad weren't around as much because I was working and going to college and all that. I had lots of free time on my hands. I could do anything and go anywhere that I wanted. But I didn't go to places or do things that dishonored Christ. You know why? Not because I was afraid Mom and Dad found out, because they wouldn't have found out. But I feared God. Lord, You saved me. You gave me life. You called me. And I fear You. Choose to fear the Lord. Number two, ask for wisdom. You're there in Colossians. Would you go to the book of James? James chapter 1. Ask for wisdom. Folks, this morning, before the day began, I asked God for wisdom. You know what I did? I sat right here. And I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Wisdom with my words. Wisdom with my choices. Wisdom with every step that I take. You see, can I just help you understand something? This is not a one-time thing. This is not, well, I'm sitting right here. I don't have to worry about it anymore. No, no, no. This is daily. Often moment by moment. This is a journey. But where are you seated today? Now, I've got great news for you. If you're here, you don't have to stay there. You can come to the Lord this morning and say, God, I'm sorry, and I confess my ignorance of Thy Word, and Lord, I'm going to begin to read and study and know the Word of God. Then guess what? God will give you wisdom. If you're seated here this morning and you know you've rejected the teachings of God's Word, you know the truth, but you're not obeying it. You're rebelling against God. Then I've got great news for you today. You can come and confess that to God, and you can begin to choose to fear the Lord and ask for wisdom, and God will give you wisdom. Even if you're a scorner here today, there is hope for the scorner because Jesus can change lives. And today, if you're seated right here and you mock and ridicule those who try to live for righteousness' sake and those who are seeking Christ, and if you mock that and make fun of all that, and yet God deals with your heart this morning, you can confess that and repent of that, and God will give you wisdom. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom. You know what? I almost chuckle when I read that, because can I tell you something? That's all of us today. But if you think you don't lack wisdom, then you're already seated right here in the seat of the fool. Because the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He doesn't need wisdom. But for us who desire wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, verse 5, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Folks, if you want wisdom, God will give you wisdom. If you say, God, I don't know what to do about this decision in my life, seek His Word, choose to fear the Lord, and ask for wisdom, and God will give you wisdom. Lord, I don't know what to do about this in my life and this situation and this problem. Ask for wisdom and go to His Word, which is the Word of wisdom. In fact, go to Colossians chapter 3, would you please? I love this. Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to notice what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, and look what it says in verse number 16. By the way, we have everything we need to live a life of wisdom. If you're a child of God this morning, the Holy Spirit indwells you. That's Christ in you, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And by the way, if you're here today, you have a church and you have a Bible. You have everything that you need to live a life of wisdom and therefore to make great decisions and therefore your life to be blessed by God. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all." What's the next word? Wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts the Lord. But the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." You know what that word dwell means? It means to soak it in. My wife and I, we were down south, if you want to call it, for a few days. And we got sunburned, literally got sunburned. Don't you feel sorry for us? Yeah, I know you don't, all right? But you know what? I just dwelled in the sun. We just had to be outside all the time. We walked and we sat outside and read and we just let the sun, well, you know, you live in Ohio, you don't get a lot of that, so you get burnt pretty quick, you know. But you know what? When we came back, people, our kids said, "Mom and Dad, you're sunburned. We don't like it," you know. Our kids were jealous. Can you believe that, you know? But you know what? When I was a little kid, I lived outside. I mean, almost lived out there. If my mom had let me, I'd have slept out there, you know. And I'll tell you something. If you see pictures of me when I was a kid, man, I look like I was a different race or something, you know? Because I was brown. I mean, just dark brown. Because, man, I dwelled in the sunlight of Tennessee. I dwelled in it. It was a part of me. And folks, let me tell you something. People know when you've not been dwelling richly in the Word of God. I know when I've not been dwelling richly in God's Word. Because I don't talk right. I complain. I'm not dwelling richly in the Word of God, but God tells us to dwell richly. So number one, choose to fear the Lord. Number two, ask for wisdom. Number three, and the last thing, accept rebuke. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 4:13, it says, "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king." You say, why? Who will no more be admonished. If you get to the place in life where you say, sorry. I'm sorry, you can't teach me anything anymore. You're not seated in the seat of the wise. You have become a fool. Folks, today, I don't know where you are seated. Young person, I don't know where you're seated this morning. But you need to look up here because every one of us is seated in one of these four chairs. In our spiritual life, let the Spirit of God deal with you today. Because if you're in these three chairs, other than that chair, God can help you and God can move you over there. If you are seated there, then you must desire God's Word and His presence, knowing that easily you can come out of that chair. Easily you can move out of that chair. May God help us today to choose to fear the Lord, to ask for wisdom, and to accept rebuke. No matter who the rebuke comes from, we must accept it and say, "Lord, help me. Yes, Lord, I receive your word, and I want to sit in the seat of the wise." Folks, today, in closing, where are you seated? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Today, if you are here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, then please, Understand, don't sit in the seat of the simple. Understand that Jesus is the only way of salvation. There is no other way. And if you'll ask for that gift, God will give you the gift of salvation. Today, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question. How many say, Pastor, I am not a Christian this morning, and I do not know where I would go if I died. Would you pray for me? I make you a promise that I will not call you out. I'll not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. No one is looking. If you say, that's me, preacher, would you pray for me this morning? Would you lift your hand? I don't know the Lord, Pastor. Pray for me. Lift your hand and hold it up high. Would you pray for me this morning? Now, child of God, I'm going to be very pointed today, and I ask you to be very honest before God. How many say, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me. I'm sitting in the seat of the simple right now. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? That's me, preacher. That's me. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. How many say, Pastor, I'm sorry, but the Lord has dealt with me that I'm sitting in the chair of the fool. And God has spoken to my heart. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. Thank you. How many would say, Pastor, I'm in that seat of the scorner, and I know it. And God's convicted my heart. Would you pray for me today? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Now, how many would say, Pastor, God has dealt with me that I want to sit in the seat of the wise. And that's what I desire. Would you lift your hand? That's me, preacher. Amen. Thank you. Then today, choose to fear the Lord. Today, ask for wisdom and accept rebuke. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Today, let's let the Lord have His way in our hearts this morning. Would you leave your seat in just a moment and come and spend some time in prayer? Maybe you're at a time of decision. Come and ask God for wisdom. Tell the Lord, Lord, I choose to fear You and accept rebuke. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You that it's so clear. We thank for the riches of wisdom that we find in Christ and in Your word. Help us to respond and to be obedient before Thee. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, if you would, please, and go to hymn number 496. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Hymn number 496. If the Lord has dealt with you, young person, leave your seat and come. Mom, Dad, leave your seat and come. Let the Lord have His way. Brother Stevenson.
To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Oh,
Amen. Well, I want to thank for being here today. And if you're visiting with us, thank you so much for coming. In just a moment, we're going to dismiss. And especially if you're visiting, come out the center doors if you would. And my wife and I would like to greet you today. We are very thankful to be back. And we're excited about this week. Tonight, I continue the series. This will be the second message on our behavior in the Church of the Living God. Brand new series we began last week. I pray that you can be here tonight. And then next Sunday, Missions Conference. And to get those prayer requests turned in, if you want to get signed up to pray with us for an hour, we would love to have you, and that'd be great. Brother Stevens, would you come and close us in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us, and we thank you for your word and all the things that are in it to be able to help us with our Christian life. And Lord, I pray that as we have looked at the four seats, Lord, that we would strive to be wise, and Lord, that every day that we'd wake up and ask for wisdom from you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us as we talk with others around us. Help us to be able to share the light that we have. And Lord, I pray that we would just choose to serve you. I pray, Lord, that you would bring us back tonight and give us safety on the road. In Jesus' name, amen.